Okay, so we're in the book of Acts, and we're coming to the end. And we're going to be in chapter 20 for a minute. So Acts comes after the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Next one is Acts, chapter 20. And I'm going to just quickly go through what was going on in the first six verses. They're traveling from one place to another. We're going to start on verse 7 of Acts, chapter 20, verse 7. Okay, let's go.
Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. There were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together, and in the window sat a certain young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep. He was overcome by sleep. And as Paul continued to speak, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. But Paul went down, fell on him, and embracing him said, "Do not trouble yourself, for his life is in him." Wow. Now when he had come up, had broken bread and eaten, and talked a long while, even till daybreak, he departed. And they brought the young man in alive, and they were not a little comforted. Amen. Continue.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
Wow.
So what happened here, I just want to not skim over it. And I'm not saying it's okay to go to sleep in church. But this man was overcome in a balcony. You know, a lot of times when we think of biblical times, we've got this image of, and one, there was some series that came out that had this, gave an image of, you know, people just wander around in dirt, dirty all the time, and, you know, unable to really bathe or comb their hair, and they just looked like, you know, vagabonds. And they actually had buildings. They had two-story buildings. They had a lot of structure. And even earlier in the days of Abraham, when he was in Ur, that was a real city. It was a city a lot like our cities today, more like the way New York is built, where each is, you know, right smashed right up against the next house. And the biggest difference was that the streets were narrow because they had more in mind about walking than bringing a chariot through or a horse. If you brought a horse through, the person, somebody would have to absolutely wait on the other end, like too small of an aisle the streets were. But that was the biggest difference. They had two-story houses, servants' quarters. The family lives upstairs, the cooking and the fellowshipping and everything, and the servants lived downstairs. They had gardens. It was very, they were very advanced, not so different than today. So, I just lost my thought. Oh, so this guy is in a balcony. He's in the second story, and he falls asleep, and he drops dead, falls over, and would be assumed dead, and was. And the Lord comes on Paul, and he's healed. And then he just gets up like nothing happened and keeps talking. Only point I want to make out of this today is don't underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit when he's in the house.
Amen.
Don't underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit when he's in the house. When something goes amiss in a service, you may be in a service and somebody comes in, you know, or falls out or, you know, looks like they're dropping dead. If you are led by the Spirit and he tells you, don't hesitate to lay hands on that person if you, or at least if you're not led to lay hands on the person, start praying. Because his Spirit is capable of raising the dead at any given time. Just because a person drops dead, Paul didn't just leave it on himself, say, oh, well, another one bites the dust. Paul went over and immediately rose the man up. That's the power that is operating through God's people. Okay, well, we're going to move on. And the next, from 13 to 16, is just different places that Paul went. He went from here to there and there to there. And the following day, we went to here and there and there. So we're going to skip over now to verse 17.
From Malta he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, you know, from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward Lord Jesus Christ. Continue.
Okay, let's stop for a second. Those of you who lead and those of you who don't get, or your calling isn't leadership. I want to, and I'm going to bring this up, it sounds like a little strange, but Paul is saying here how he withheld nothing from them. When you're teaching someone, don't give them a piece of it because you don't want them to know more than you do. And I'm going to say that could be a temptation. And you might justify it by saying, well, they don't really seem to know about all that right now. They're not really mature enough to hear about this or know about that. Don't do that. Paul is an example to us of the early church and what to do and what not to do. Paul shared freely what God was giving him. He didn't hold back and say, well, we're not going to talk about that because all you need to focus on right now. Can you work on that, get that straight? We'll talk about other things later. What is that person really doing? They're trying to stay ahead of and above instead of giving people the tools they need to grow themselves. Paul did not do that. And I don't want to ever, ever find out that any of us is doing that because we want to know more than the next person. You're not threatened by what somebody else knows or how God chooses to use somebody else. If you're sent into that person's life, your job is to help them with whatever they're needing help with and get them to where they're going.
Amen.
It's not to be, I have a title, you don't. Well, we're not really going to discuss that right now because that's kind of over your head. Only people in my position need to know this. Paul withheld nothing from them. They knew of his trials. They knew all that he had gone through. But when he taught them everything. He gave them everything he had. And I try to do that. And I hope that you do this. Give everything you have. And I'm saying this for a reason, because there's going to come a day that person's not going to be with you. And you may have withheld something that could have Holy Spirit could have used to guide that person later. And now you're not here to help. You don't know when your time is up and when it's time that God is going to pick you up and move you someplace else. Give all that you can give in every environment that you're in that God allows. If God has sent somebody your way and you're walking with this person in any aspect, give all that you can give. Don't withhold anything. Paul didn't. And there's a reason, because you don't know And Paul, I'm sure, didn't know at that time. He just knows that wherever I am, I pour and pour and pour. I don't know if I'll be making it back to this region. I might not have a chance to tell you again. You don't know. God doesn't usually tell us, well, you're going to be here exactly 17 minutes, and then from there we're going to have a knock on the... He doesn't do that. So be all that you can be for somebody else. If you recognize that you may not have this opportunity again, then wouldn't you give them everything that they need? Wouldn't you equip anybody that you can with every sword, every possibility that they might face? And that's what Paul was doing. Keep going.
Verse 22. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me.
What's happening there is everywhere Paul finds himself, prophets are coming up to him, and they're telling him, chains, bondage. And now Paul knows that wherever I go from here, what's going to happen, I don't know, but prophets, everyone, people that I trust, people in my circle, they're beginning to say, something's coming, Paul. Paul, something's coming. Chains and suffering is awaiting you. God began to show prophets and people in Paul's life that this is coming. It's coming, Paul. Why would he do that? Why would he do that? Why would the Lord give Paul this information through many sources? Why would he do that?
To prepare his path, to strengthen him, to make sure that he does give his all along the journey.
That's a very good reason, and I think part of it, partly so that when you are in the trial, when you find yourself in a situation and you're wondering, what is this? The Holy Spirit often will warn you in advance so that you don't think, oh, what have I done? Oh, how I must have stepped out of God's will. God has abandoned me. Because the suffering and the tribulation and the circumstances say, where's God? But God will speak to you prior. He'll find a way. The Holy Spirit is testifying. Every time Paul sets foot in the city, there's this feeling, it's coming. It's coming. Something's coming. It's going, and then he made it clear, it includes suffering and it includes chains. So as Paul is saying, as I'm getting ready to enter into Jerusalem, I don't know what's awaiting me there. But he's been being warned. God warns you, because when the suffering and the trial becomes so hard, it's easy to think and begin to blame yourself and say, I must have done something, why this is not lifting. God wouldn't allow me to be in this kind of suffering or in chains, but God is allowing it, but he's telling you in advance so that you don't go there. You don't go there. And oh, what the message that Paul ends up giving all throughout the letters that he began to send. He teaches us to be grateful and thankful, whether you have or you have not, whether you have much, whether you have little. He begins to teach us this. Now, why is because Paul had grasped, I'm not being punished. God has not abandoned me. So he's going to Jerusalem, but they had warned him, many warnings from the Spirit of God himself. Keep going.
Verse 24, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of grace of God. Hallelujah. Verse 25. And indeed now I know that you all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God will see my face no more. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore,
amen.
Take
I want to
amen.
Hear something here. Yes. Paul says, I am innocent of the blood of all men, because no matter what, I have declared to you all I have. That's what Paul is saying. And what was he being held accountable for? What blood is he talking about?
Bloodshed of the people before he became a Christian.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The bloodshed that he would take the coat as Stephen was being stoned. Mm-hmm. The bloodshed that he had caused before God had straightened him out, had called him into service. And he's saying, whatever I'm going into, my life is no longer what's important. Mm-hmm. But just so you know, I'm innocent of the bloodshed because God has forgiven him of this.
Yes.
God has forgiven me. And in return, I have withheld nothing from him.
Mm-hmm.
That's where God tries to get all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Not just forgiven. Oh, I'm so happy. I'm saved. I don't have to face hell. I got fire insurance. That's not where the road's supposed to end.
Mm-hmm.
When you realize all that you have done and where you've completely missed the mark, that should cause something in you to want to serve him that much more at any cost now. That's what it should cause. That's what it should. Something in you should eventually at least grow to that point. Now, Paul knows probably from all the warnings that he has gotten, don't go to Jerusalem. Something's going to happen to you there. Don't go. They pleaded with him. But Paul says, I'm going. I'm going. He knew, I will probably not see you anymore. And I can only imagine the heartbreak for Paul and for the people that he had been teaching, going from city to city to city to city, city to city to city, and avoiding Jerusalem. Because the warnings are, don't go to Jerusalem. But Paul says, I'm going. I'm willing. Keep going.
Verse 28. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among you, which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Hallelujah. For I know this, after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years, I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears.
Mm.
Wow. Continue.
No. Can you feel the heart of Paul here?
Yes.
Can you feel the heart of Paul? Knows.
Yes.
I'm done with you now.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to move on. Take everything you've been taught, people, children, of the Almighty, begin to use what God has given you so that you'll be prepared, that you'll be ready when that time comes and you're going to stand and start doing what he's called you to do.
Mm-hmm.
What is he saying? All of you that I've poured into for 3 years, Mm-hmm. Now go do, because this is what's coming when I leave. Wolves, deceivers. And if the word is not solid in you, you won't be able to stand. But I've given you everything. I've given you all I can give you. And the Lord is taking Paul from them. That's what's happening now. He's sending Paul into a whole nother level of his ministry. Someone would say, is he getting ready to raise Paul up? Absolutely, but it is not going to look like up. And Paul knows that I'm willingly going into whatever it takes to take what's going to happen to him in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. I don't think he knows what's going to happen. He just knows that it involves chains and it involves suffering. Mm-hmm. But he's willing to do that. And now he's warning the people, warning the flock. You guys should have what it takes now. I can't give you anything else. You should have what it takes to be able to stand. But did he not suffer with them with many, many tears?
Yes.
Did he not cease to warn them? Strange deceptions are going to be coming in, wolves, to tear the flock apart. They're going to have different teachings. They're going to have all kinds of deceptions. Be ready, children of God. Be ready to recognize that when you're hearing something and it's not lining up with God's word, hold on. Let me get that corrected. But God wouldn't be taking Paul if they weren't ready. Keep going.
Verse 32. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Hallelujah. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. Then they all wept freely. Ooh, I feel that. And fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more. And they accompanied him to the ship and to his company. Wow. That was powerful. I love that. Wow. Continue.
No, I'm just soaking in.
Amen. Amen.
Paul's desire above all things was to see that rooted, to see that the church was surviving, to see that everything that he had already gone through, being persecuted by the Jews everywhere he turned, that it was not in vain. And you can feel his heart. He knows that he won't be seeing them again. Keep going.
Verse 21, now it came to pass that when we had departed from them and set sail, running a straight course, we came to Kos the following day to Rhodes, and from there to Patara, and finding a ship sailing over to Phoenicia, we went aboard and set sail. When we had sighted Cyprus, we passed it on the left, sailed to Syria, and landed in Tyre, for there the ship was to unload her cargo. And finding disciples, we stayed there 7 days. They told Paul through the Spirit not to go up to Jerusalem. When he had come to the end of those days, we departed and went on our way, and they all accompanied us with wives and children, till we were not out of the city. And we knelt down on the shore and prayed. When we had taken our leave of one another, we boarded the ship, and they returned home.
Question here. Why is Paul getting these warnings over and over and over not to go to Jerusalem? Anybody have a thought on why are so many coming forward saying don't go to Jerusalem? Why do you think? Do you think the people telling him not to go to Jerusalem were led by the Lord?
Possibly.
I would say possibly because we may be dealing with fear. And as Christ followers, we get fearful sometimes. We get afraid for our sisters and brothers. So I would say no. Something big was there.
The Spirit, because I'm sitting there wondering myself, but the Spirit is giving a premonition to the church so that, just like with Paul, when he doesn't return, they could feel this was coming. This is coming. And he's letting the gifts of the Spirit, one of them being discernment, they're discerning that if he goes there, he's not coming back. But why is Paul insistent on going?
Because the Holy Spirit was...
Found
him. Yes. The Spirit of God in him to go.
Yes.
Did a choice?
Yeah, he could have chosen not
choice.
To go. Just like Jesus. Jesus could have chosen not to die on the cross. He could have called legions of angels down to save him. But it was his commitment to faith. It was his cross to bear. He knew that he had a cross to bear. Take it on, despite that was there. And the Holy Spirit driving him the way it was, he had to go.
He had.
Yeah.
And the people also needed the testimony that we have today, right now, at this moment in time, the testimony that sometimes you will be warned that it's difficult circumstances lying ahead of you, but it does not mean don't go. It doesn't mean don't go. Paul had a choice. Paul could have decided, you know what, I'm going to reject the suffering that's awaiting me. I'm not going to put myself in that. But yet Paul's heart was still, through the Holy Spirit, compelling him to move forward, even with the warnings. Yeah. But it allowed him to say goodbye. Every life that he had touched, it was allowing him to say goodbye. They know, I'm not going to see your face again. And Paul was able to, they were able to begin grieving for the loss of Paul. What a beautiful thing. How compassionate of the Lord to allow this.
And thank you, Paul, for your obedience.
In our walk, it seems like, you know, we as Christians in 2023 and past, we seem like we want to be blessed, and of course, nothing wrong with that. We want to be healthy and strong, nothing wrong with that. But suffering is something we never want to hear or talk about.
Yeah.
As this talk, there's going to be suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that we shy from when we feel the pain. And you can only imagine what Paul must have felt, knowing that he's going to deal with some serious issues of life and threat and death eventually.
Yeah.
But he had to go. Who really wants to go and face their cross?
Keep going.
Verse 7. And when we had finished our voyage from Tyre, we came to Patmos, greeted the brethren, and stayed with them one day. On the next day, we who were Paul's companions departed and came to Caesarea. and entered the house of Philip, the evangelist, who was one of the seven, and stayed with him. Now this man had four virgin daughters who prophesied. And as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. When he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, "Thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the men who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles."
Wow.
Continue. What is he saying there?
How graphic the warning he's getting.
Wow. He took the belt. They're getting stronger.
You know, part of this makes me also feel like the Lord really wanted to be sure that Paul understood the magnitude of what it almost is. It's resonating. I'm going to keep telling you because I really need for you to be willing. I really need for you to understand the cost. A lot of us get involved in Christianity, as Richard was saying, we don't recognize the cost.
Yeah.
But Paul was getting ready to pay a price that most of us will never see.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to make sure Paul was willing, doesn't come out the other end and said, if I had known it was going to be the rest of my life, if I had known I was going to be in chains, if I had known that the persecution was going to be so great, I wouldn't do it. So the Lord's making sure you understand. Now he's got these, you know, prophets coming up to him, and this one turns around and binds his own feet, his own hands, and says, "This is what it's going to look like, Paul." Didn't say Paul. Yes. He said, "The man that owns this belt."
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And yet, keep going.
Verse 12. Now when we heard these things, both we and those from the place pleaded with him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, "What do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Ooh, hallelujah.
Yes,
so,
amen.
Right, hallelujah. So when he would not be persuaded, we ceased saying, "The will of the Lord be done." What a mighty word.
Now, why are they to say the will of the Lord be done? They ceased saying the will of the Lord be done. Now the brokenhearted are taking it and leaving it in the hands of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say this, I want it understood. In all things in ministry, in all things in life, every aspect of life, turn it over willingly that his will be done. None of these, they pleaded with him. I bet there were tears flying all over the place. Mm-hmm. Please don't go. Please, this isn't going to end well. Please don't. And yet Paul is not going to be persuaded because Paul is led by the Spirit and has made up his mind. What did he say? I don't care what it cost.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what it cost. Mm-hmm. Am I not to go because my life might end this way?
Yes.
And then finally, process of grieving. The church embraces and says, and now the whole church is praying. Many from every city is praying. But finally, it gets relinquished into God's will be done.
Hallelujah.
God's will be done. God's will does not look like our will often. That's why it is so important to pray in his will.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, God is not the genie of the lamp. We're the possessor of the lamp, and we give God orders and tell him what to do next. And then we demand heaven to give us whatever it is that we're trying to ascertain.
Mm-hmm.
Even something as hard as losing their mentor, their friend, their teacher. Even something that hard, they have to get broken enough and understand God's will be done. So what does that mean, children of God? If you pray in his will, let his will be done. And whatever those results are, accept them as God's
Amen.
Will. If
Amen.
God's will, it's best.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
No matter what that feels like, no matter what that looks like, if you're saying, well, God, I want to see this person healed, and they die.
God's will.
God's will be done. Because he really does know what's best. And you know what else he knows? He knows what's best with the broad brush.
Mm-hmm.
It's a broad brush. He sees the whole picture. All you see is your little segment of it.
Mm-hmm.
And in your mind, no, I don't want to see this happen to Paul. Paul's too valuable to us. God said, well, everything I said is going to happen. He will be bound. He will be taken away in chains. But he's going to minister to Rome.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be now put before the kings of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to influence people at such a high level. You know, we'll get to that. I guess we do have to go to Romans. He's going to influence people at such a high level. There's a time in Rome where he's bound, where Felix has him come out of prison every day. Oh, go get that fellow Paul. I'd like to talk with him again.
Mm-hmm.
And he ministers to Felix every single day. And Felix is high ranking in the Roman Empire. Christianity is now being spread on a whole nother level, but the cost is his freedom. That's why you're going to hear Paul talk so much about freedom in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Because he didn't lose his freedom obeying God. He gained it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
He gained it.
Yes.
Amen.
He gained it.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord was very tender at pulling Paul from them. The warnings had come along the way, and they kept coming. Then they got stronger and kept coming, and it's because he needed them to let go. Let go and say goodbye. What would be hard? You know what's so hard for so many people that lose loved ones suddenly? What do you hear them say when they're in this fog of grief? I didn't get a chance to say goodbye.
To say goodbye,
look at the mercy of God who let them weep, let them hold each other, let them cry on his neck.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Get it out.
Mm-hmm.
Get it out, my children. Get it out. That's what the Lord was allowing here. Go ahead, grieve. Go ahead, cry. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
But my will still be done. Even as you're praying, my will be done.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally we accept what God has put before us.
Amen.
And we eventually will see, even if, and I know the church, you're going to see the church, all the Corinthians and all they were just hoping that they could see Paul again. Mm-hmm. They were going to see him again. All of the relationship that was built in the Acts that we've just gone through earlier.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And we're coming to the close of Acts, and then he's off to Rome.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens to him in Rome, Lord wasn't kidding.
Right.
When he gave the prophet,
yeah, right.
Kidding. You will be bound.
Mm-hmm.
Are you willing? And God asks all of this of us this question. Maybe not on the same level that it took Paul, but he wants to know from you and you and you and you, are you willing to follow me no matter what it takes? Are you, or if it means, for example, well, you're willing to follow me, but not if it's going to cost you, and I'm going to get personal. Not if it costs you a grandchild. Not if it costs me a son. Not if it costs me a daughter. Am I willing to let God have it all in order to keep doing the work? And only reason you'd be asking me this is because it's best.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
God's not Satan. Mm-hmm. He's not saying, gee, I need a blood sacrifice. He already did the blood sacrifice. Jesus did it, and he did it willingly.
Mm-hmm.
So the Lord's not just asking you this,
mm-hmm.
or whatever it is that he comes and he might require of you.
Mm-hmm.
Jeanette, I need, no, not that.
Mm.
He tells me, say for example, the Lord tells me to put down TV permanently. I don't want you to ever watch it again. Lord, that's not even reasonable. Everybody needs a little bit of time to unwind, and I really do like Gunsmoke. Some of them don't even know what that is.
It's a good show. It was a good show.
Why would God ask me to lay down something so important to me? I've got news for you. It's going to keep going. As you grow in him, the cost increases.
That's not what we want to be here.
But always know this, if you don't remember anything else, if he's asking you for it, it's best.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, it's not always all about you. Mm-hmm. So it might be best for not just you, because what he's giving you is an opportunity to sacrifice,
mm-hmm.
an opportunity. Mm-hmm. So there's a blessing that goes with that in eternity. We're not here on earth all that long. It may seem like it to a younger person. We're not here that long. Anybody on this call can remember quickly about high school. Most mm-hmm. of us on this call, over half our life has already been spent. It does not take long.
Mm-mm.
So he's given you an opportunity to be obedient and invest in the kingdom. But he's still asking. Paul could say no. And a lot of times you're going to go forward and you're going to have a lot of opposition from people that love you. Ouch.
Mm-hmm.
People that love you will say, what are you doing? Where are you going? Why are you doing this? How could you? Why are you leaving us? I've been through that on a very small level. Itty bitty. Still down the street. But that's what it felt like. It was a small level.
Mm-hmm.
But the levels are going to increase. God will require of you more. That's the way that the program is, because as you are being lifted out of this world, your impact on the world is predicated on what you've let go. Often.
That was good.
How are you a living testimony if you haven't let go of anything? What kind of testimony is that? Oh, so now you got Jesus coming out of your mouth at least a couple of times a week. But there's no change in your walk.
Mm-hmm.
You're still doing all the things we're doing. God will require of you to let things go. And some of what he'll ask you to let go of, you may say, well, why would I have to let that go? It's not a sin. I don't believe it's a sin. Your heart is still not ready. And for you to come into all that he has for you to do, you've got to surrender all.
Yes.
All. Not some, all. If somebody is asking you if you are ready to surrender and you say yes, this, but not that, it's still got a very strong hold in your heart. If the Lord is asking you to surrender, and I'm not talking about me, I'm not talking about, you know, somebody that walks up to you and says, well, I think that you should never this or you should never that, and now that you're a Christian, you can only wear white tennis shoes. The Lord's telling me you can only wear white tennis shoes now that you're a Christian. I'm not talking about somebody else's bondage. I'm talking about what God is saying to you in your heart. A prophet or an apostle or somebody that God has sent may only be asking. But you know in your heart if it's something that God has spoken to you about. I got news for you also, and I'm going to close. Sometimes what the Lord asks you for doesn't make sense to you. He may tell you, well, I want you to, hey, it could be something as simple as fasting. And you could say, well, it doesn't make sense for me to be going out, going without food. Fast for what? Is there a purpose for this fast? Because if there's not really a purpose and you're not telling me, I'm not doing it. But you know that inside there's this urging that the Lord is telling you to fast. These are ways that we sacrifice. And we've got to learn how, because the bar just keeps raising of what he's going to take from you. He's going to take so much from each and every one of us. Not that he doesn't bless us abundantly. Please don't get this twisted. He blesses us, but things that are in our heart that have a hold on us often ask for that. Or he'll ask for something because it's best for, like you're praying for a loved one to be healed or restored or live, and God takes them. He knows what's best.
Amen.
He knows that maybe that person can't finish the journey and that the suffering in their failures is going to be too much. Ouch. There's people that get saved and they're not going to be very successful in the journey. There's too many strongholds. There's so much twisted up in their DNA and the way they're wired and the way things have happened and circumstances have helped. An environment has molded them so tight that the Lord says, it's better that I take this one home. They're not going to be successful and victorious. They're only going to suffer. So he may choose to take them. Rejoice, as Paul will teach us, in all things. And in all things rejoice. As we go into the new year, I pray that each one of us surrenders anything that is not edifying in your life. Anything that affects your testimony. Anything that the Holy Spirit has whispered in your ear and you said, I'm not letting that go. We're going to go into communion, and Tammy's going to lead us in communion today.
So if you have not gotten your elements, your bread and your wine, please do so right now. And so I just, I think it's so appropriate that we do communion after this message, as well as it's the first day of 2023. And it's definitely time for us to lay down these things. And communion shows us through Christ, his sacrificing himself for us, for our sins, for our transgressions, for all of our shortcomings and failures. So this is the time that we search our hearts, as Jeanette said, and just ask the Holy Spirit to reveal anything that you still are holding on to that's still there. Lord has brought so many things out for me, and He's just shown me through the service last night that there was still stuff there. And I can say today that it's just amazing. I've laid them at His feet. And this is what I want for you. And thank you, Lord. And so through this communion, I just pray that this time right now just be a healing service for you, a healing act. We talk about, Jeanette talks about how this is not just something, a representation, or just something that we go through to remember Him, but it's something that should penetrate your soul, should penetrate your heart, knowing what He did, what He gave up for us, the love that He shown us. As I was getting healed last night, I felt His love fill my heart as He removes those things that are still deep down in there. Let Him just fill you with His love. And it's the love that He's shown. The night that He was betrayed, He was with, He gathered with all of His disciple, His friends, His brothers that He had walked with. As He took the bread, He told them, "This, take this bread and eat it. This is My body that has been broken for you." They did not know why, but we do. We have the ability, we have the gift of knowing what He did for us. Mm-hmm. So as we take this bread, everyone take your bread. Let us know that this is His body that was shed for us, that was broken for us, Lord God. Thank You. Let us just feel it. He had to be broken so that we can be healed.
Yes, Lord.
As we do this in remembrance of what He's done for us and what He is doing for us right now.
Thank You.
Take and eat. Then He took the cup and He told them, "This is My blood." Again, they did not know. They didn't understand this at that time. "This is the blood that was shed to cover our sins, to remove them." His bones had to be broken and His blood had to be shed. So as you take those things that are still in the way, that still you can't give up, the things that the Lord has brought to your heart, to your mind, even if you don't have it right now, continue to ask Him to show you. Lay it down. Lay it down at the bottom of the cross and allow the blood that was shed to just pour out over it, to cover us, to heal us, to make us whole and new.
Yes.
Take your cup.
Yes.
And as you drink, just praise Him and thank Him for what He's doing, what He has done, and what He's doing right now and to come. In Jesus' name, take and drink.
Amen.
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 I think it's a blessing.
Amen.
It's an honor.
Amen.
To be able to have communion on this day.
Mm-hmm.
This first day of a new year.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you, too.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
For being on the call. Thank you for sharing this new year with us.
Mm-hmm.
We thank you for just everyone's prayers. We thank you for being a part of this ministry. This is God's ministry.
Mm-hmm.
He gives us a second chance every day.
Mm-hmm.
Every day. His mercies are new every morning.
Yes.
And we need to take that, and we need to remember that.
Yes.
And just stay focused on him as we walk this journey, this path that he's put us on or brought us back to. Yes. No matter how many times we keep going in the wrong direction or backwards or upside down, wherever we go, he brings us back. So we have to be willing.
Thank you,
Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you for you, Lord God. Thank you for this service.
Thank you
for all that you've been doing in Second Chance, for the anointing, for the blessings that you're pouring out on everyone who's ever listened to this message, who's here right now. Thank you, who's a part of Second Chance, no matter where they're serving at this moment, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you. We thank you for the strength. We thank you for the new year. We thank you for the blessings that you're pouring out to us and our children and our generations to come, Lord God.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you. I ask you, Lord, as we walk, Lord, as we learn today, Lord, sometimes we're going to be asked to do the hard thing. And we ask you, Lord, to continue to stay with us, Lord. We want to do your will. Help us to stay focused on you so we can do your will, not what the flesh is telling us. Thank you. As we go, Lord, let us not forget each other. Let us reach out, whether it be someone on this call or people in your lives or people you meet on the street. This is what he's calling us to do, to reach others for him. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name,
Jesus.
His holy name. Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Blessings, everyone.
Blessings. Blessings.
Have a beautiful day.
Have a beautiful day yourself.
Have a beautiful week, everyone. Bye-bye.